Station. A Civic Media Station.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez, developing news from Los Angeles overnight, where the Archdiocese has agreed to pay $880 million to more than 1,300 people who say they were abused by Catholic priests when they were children. That is a record settlement for the church. CBS Los Angeles, Amy Johnson.
It's on top of the previous $740 million already paid to other victims, bringing the total payout to more than $1.5 billion.
The Archdiocese says it'll fund the settlements with investments, assets, reserves, and bank loans. Just in from Washington, the Biden administration says the president has canceled another $4.5 billion in student debt for over 60,000 borrowers, Undersecretary of Education James Cavall.
We are going to notify them, and then we will be processing the loan discharges in the coming weeks. And anyone that's made more than 10 years of payments, we will refund the extra payment.
It brings the number of public service workers who've had their college loans forgiven to over a million. Former President Donald Trump talked immigration with undecided voters in a Univision town hall last night.
The African-American population and the Hispanic population in particular are losing jobs now because millions of people are coming in.
Vice President Harris taken to task on the issue in an interview with Bret Baier on Fox.
We have a broken immigration system that needs to be repaired.
So your Homeland Security Secretary said that 85% of apprehensions.
I'm not finished.
In what could be a warning to Tehran, the Pentagon says the U.S. military has conducted airstrikes on several Houthi weapons storage facilities in Yemen, in areas controlled by the Iranian-backed militia. One Direction fans devastated by the death of Liam Payne.
How many nights did it take to count the stars?
They sang outside the hotel in Buenos Aires where the former One Direction member died after he fell from a third-floor balcony. Sophia Estidi ran a fan page.
I followed his journey since X Factor days. I was 10 years old when it happened. And I followed his journey up to One Direction. They made music that just resonated with every age group.
Police say they were called to the hotel when they got a message about an aggressive man who could be under the effects of drugs and alcohol. If you want to pay extra for speedy service at Disney theme parks, there's a new pass for you. CBS's Clarissa Lawson.
The Lightning Lane Premier Pass will let people skip the line for dozens of popular rides and attractions without booking ahead.
Prices as high as $449. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Workers at the Miller Brewery in Milwaukee have ended their week-long strike. Stuart J. Waddles has more.
Milwaukee machinists and Molson Coors have reached a deal. Both the company and the union are expressing satisfaction with the new three-year agreement. Specific terms have not been made public. I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
The number of absentee ballot drop boxes has gone way down in Wisconsin from 4 years ago. Wisconsin Elections Commission Administrator Megan Wolf says there were more than 500 drop boxes in more than 430 communities 4 years ago. Now she can only confirm about 78 of them in 42 communities. While that is a steep drop, the number could be higher because there is no requirement for the state's 1,850 local election officials to report the use of drop boxes, according to Wolf. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
It's the Bucks and the Mavericks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks are in Dallas to take on the Mavericks in their final preseason game tonight. Chris Middleton had surgery on both his ankles in the offseason. Was he able to practice yesterday? Doc Rivers.
No, we didn't even think about it. No, he did everything else, all our skeleton stuff. He did some one-on-one yesterday live, which was really good. So he's getting there.
Not going to play tomorrow.
No, he won't play.
NFL, the Packers' new place kicker, Brandon McManus, worked out with the team, looked good in practice. The Packers host the Texans Sunday. College football. football, Badgers quarterback Braden Locke talked about facing another Big Ten rival this Saturday, the Northwestern Wildcats.
In this league, you really can't look ahead or look back. If we've seen many things this college football season, it's that any given Saturday, somebody can beat somebody. So we got to respect our opponent. We got to respect what they do. And you know, the best way for us to do that is by preparing really well. We've got to go out and play a good game if we want to win on Saturday.
That's Wisconsin quarterback Braden Locke. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to 64 for a high this afternoon. Tonight, clear 43. Tomorrow, sunshine 67. On Saturday, sunny with a high of 69. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 35.
Dom Salvia.
Matt Rothschild here. I'm guest hosting on the next Dom Salvia show, and I'm going to be joined by Angela Lang of Black Leaders Organizing for Communities. Please tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. Your new choice. Real news. Great conversation. 540 WAUK.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wasota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitloh.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Thursday morning, October 17th, 2024. Where are we at here now? 19 days till Election Day. It's another beautiful morning to have you here up north, live from Lake Wasota, from wherever you're listening, across the Civic Media Radio Network, on the app, by podcast, or on social media. We appreciate you starting your day right here. I got a question for you. Do you personally, do you have a spare $20 million lying around in order to maybe buy yourself a seat in the U.S. Senate? We will talk to Joe Zepecki about Eric Hovde's latest infusion of personal cash into his Senate race coming up, along with all kinds of new developments from the presidential campaign, including Vice President Kamala Harris spending the night in Milwaukee, getting set to make appearances in Milwaukee, La Crosse, and Green Bay today. And there's so much to report about things that Donald Trump has said, only to call out the whoppers or the weirdness of it all. So we'll be talking about that as well. But then in our second hour comes our regular weekly Women Win Wisconsin segment, powered by our friends at Motherhood for Good. And this week's guest is Senator Tammy Baldwin. We will talk about the work to protect women's health care rights, fight the factors that are contributing to inflation, try to cut the flow of fentanyl across our borders if only a certain ex-president hadn't put politics ahead of solutions. So a good interview coming up with the senator. We'll also talk to State Assembly candidate Christian Phelps from the Chippewa Valley, and much more. And as you're watching along the way, if you'd like to leave a comment or a question for us, use that text line, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-75-CIVIC, text us there. Text us through the Civic Media app, or if you're watching on the Up North News YouTube page, the Up North News Facebook page, the Civic Media Facebook page, put something in the comment section. We may put it up on screen and respond there. What a range of temperatures at 6 a.m. It is 32 here in Chippewa Falls. It is 49 in Hayward, only 31 in Wausau, 42 in La Crosse, Wisconsin Rapids at 36, Amory at 45. If you can't tell by now, there's a high pressure system moving into the area that is going to bring some very gusty south winds to parts of the state. It's going to only increase the fire danger. And so clearly those south winds have started moving in to the western part of the state, where temperatures are already well into the 40s. It's also 42 in Madison, it's 36 in Waukesha, and it's 39 degrees at Milwaukee's Mitchell Field. And here's a surprise, unless you were listening yesterday, then you know it's not a surprise. We don't have Greg Bach here. We have Mr. Luke Mathers joining us for the morning. Mr. Mathers, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well, Mr. Kreitlow. How about yourself?
Fine, fine. Always nice to know that Madison's palatial Studio A2 works. Still hasn't been furnished at all, I see there. It still looks like you're being put in a timeout for something, but it's working.
The decor will come eventually. That's the lower on the priority list over with the next 19 days in front of us.
I understand. It's, you know, it's not TV. I totally get that. For folks who missed it yesterday, I just mentioned Civic Media is doing some, I have to pay Dan Schaefer $5 here, recombobulating. And as they move some equipment around and reconfigure some wires and, you know, put a little aluminum foil around this or that, Luke is boarding the station from Madison, and then Greg will join us back here again on Monday. But how have things been in Madison? I haven't been down there for some time. You probably haven't even been outside yourself. You're so busy working on election prep.
Things are good in Madison. Like there's a lot going on. We've got a brand new bus rapid transit, which has been really cool to see that unfold. There was a lot of construction that led up to it, but now that it's kind of done and you can see it being used, and that's awesome. There's tons of events. It's fall. It's one of those things when the semester starts again, you're kind of like, oh, all these students are back. But then it's like, oh yeah, it's like all the students are back. And so there's a lot going on around town. There's never not something going on. So it is keeping us busy with the election and work, but also just finding some fun and doing things as well. Going to try to get to one of the last farmers markets this weekend, hopefully.
Oh, is that starting? That is starting to wrap up now, isn't it?
Yeah, I believe that the first or second weekend of November is the last one. So before it gets too cold, hoping I can get to one more.
Oh, cool. Hey, have you ever heard of something called dirty soda?
Dirty soda? It rings a bell, but I don't know in what context I would have heard I guess.
I think I'd only heard about it once as well, as I was transitioning into the promotion of today's daily newsletter from Up North News. I see that Christina's first story, the headline is, "What's Dirty Soda?" And apparently it's something that it's a West Coast thing, started in Utah, where many people refrain from drinking alcohol. But it's made its way to Wisconsin. Appleton now has a soda bar. Dirty soda is soda spiked with creams and flavored syrups and fruit juices. So again, it's alcohol free, but rather than just the same old Coke, Pepsi, ginger ale, is they're doing more to make soda more flavorful, but dirty just sounds better.
Is it like a mocktail? It sounds like a mocktail. You're using some syrups or bitters or something, maybe?
Here's one. Here's an example. The Dr. McDreamy is Dr. Pepper, strawberry puree, coconut, vanilla, and half and half.
Okay.
There's the You Betcha, which is Coke or Pepsi with caramel, vanilla, and half and half cream. Let's see. There's the Badger Brew. You take Coke or Pepsi with white chocolate, toasted marshmallow, and half and half, or a Buck's Beer, which is a mug of root beer with vanilla and cream in it as well. So you're probably going to see a few more of these pop up here and there. If it's in Appleton, it's got to be coming to Madison soon, if it isn't already. So be on the lookout for dirty sodas. Now you know. See, we're all about teaching you.
Yeah, I'll have to keep an eye out for them. Yeah, I don't know if any of those really jumped to the top of my list of, oh, I got to go try that and run out and do it, but maybe.
I mean, never say never, right? There's also an article in today's newsletter about what might be different in a Wisconsin legislature if Democrats were to actually win control of the state assembly. Now, there are new maps, but Democrats would have to pick up 15 seats to take control. What would that look like? We begin to speculate on that a bit in the newsletter. Again, sign up for it over at upnorthnewswi.com. We would love to have you as a subscriber. Just click subscribe in the top banner. Also, way up on top of the homepage is the Up North News voting guide. And when you're done looking at that, go look at what Dan Schaefer and the Civic Media News team has put together at civicmedia.us for Dan Schaefer's voting guide as well. There's just no excuse not to be informed on what's on the ballot. Luke, I've lost the number. The number of early votes in Wisconsin. Here it is. This was as of like
8 a.m. Don't tell me you're losing these ballots, Pat. Come on.
No.
Do not lose any ballots.
We are now at, as of about 24 hours ago, 267,000 524. 267,000 votes have already been cast in the November election by people mailing in their absentee ballot. There's another 300,000 that have been sent out to voters and haven't been returned yet. Mine is one of them. And then,
of course, there's... What are you
waiting for? I'm waiting to... I have to make a video for Up North News about... Here's
how... There's a homework assignment tied to it, so that's why it hasn't been sent in. Okay, okay.
And I haven't... I haven't had time... My attractive blonde videographer has been a little busy with, you know, work. So we're gonna shoot that baby on Saturday.
Okay.
And then it'll feature me then taking it to my town hall and putting it in the Dropbox. Now the Dropboxes are a thing again.
There you go. So if you haven't already requested your absentee ballot, there's still time to do so. You have until next week on Halloween to request those absentee ballots. So don't wait. Make a plan.
Don't wait.
Be a voter.
Yeah, The deadlines, frankly, work against you if you try to mail them in, because you got to give enough time to mail them in. But learn all the rules at myvote.wi.gov. All right. As mentioned, Vice President Kamala Harris is in Wisconsin. She stayed. She's staying at the Pfister in Milwaukee, which is where like all the VIPs go. So it's not a state secret or something like that. She will be making an appearance with UW-Milwaukee students today, and she's bringing along a friend. That would be Mark Cuban, the billionaire entrepreneur who is going to also accompany the vice president to her first rally of the day. And that will be in La Crosse this afternoon. And then there will be a rally in Green Bay this evening. So the vice president has obviously had a very busy week. That included her first ever appearance on the Fox so-called news channel in a quite contentious interview with Brett Baer that I'm going to talk about in just a bit. But first, I want to read to you some of Mark Cuban's Twitter post about the interview, where Mark Cuban writes, "The beautiful thing about the Brett Baer interview is that Kamala Harris understood and responded to each question. She used examples of policies. She gave real-world context. When Brett went hard after her, she didn't call him names. She didn't quit the interview. She didn't make things up. She never once complained that the questions were tough. She never played the victim card. She didn't lose her temper. She didn't take the bait to diminish or talk down to Trump supporters. She stood up to Baer with force and never backed down. He has been the president, and he has been campaigning for 9 years. Kamala Harris caught up with him in just 100 days. That speaks volumes. It's why people want to vote for her. That's why so many Republicans and independents are supporting her. She is everything her opponent is not and will never be: strong, smart, and measured." Those are the words of Mark Cuban, who will be accompanying Vice President Harris in Milwaukee this morning and the La Crosse rally this afternoon, before VP Harris heads on to Green Bay for a rally this evening. As far as that Fox interview goes with Brett Baer, Brett Baer did exactly what you would expect a Fox News anchor to do, and tried to talk all over her, interrupted her constantly. And then afterwards, of course, he said, looking back at the interview, he said, "I think maybe she was looking for a viral moment by always interrupting me." Well, she was interrupting you, interrupting her to say, "Please let me finish the question." So it was actually the Fox folks who were, you know, trying to poke a stick into everything. But the vice president really called out Fox and Brett Baer for selective editing in playing back a Trump clip without playing the whole clip, where he talks about the enemy within. And she did a great job of giving Fox News viewers just a little of the insight they don't normally get about what's really happening in the presidential campaign. We'll unpack more of the news in just a bit, and then Joe Zepecki to follow, wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this beautiful Thursday morning. When you're here, you're up north. Live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network, I'm Pat Kreitlum.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
Questions you might hear a lot this fall. Will my team make the playoffs? How much snow are we getting this winter? And whatever happened to Tammy Baldwin? After 25 years in D.C., Baldwin sides with the extreme left. Baldwin voted to give nearly $1 billion in COVID relief money to criminals in prison, even the Boston Marathon bomber. That's nuts. and she supports forcing women's domestic violence shelters to admit biological men who claim to be women. Baldwin even backed puberty blockers and sex change surgeries for minor children in Wisconsin. So here's one more question. Now that Baldwin's gone so far left, why should we keep her in the Senate? It's time to replace Tammy Baldwin. Senate Leadership Fund paid for and is responsible for the content of this advertising. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. www.senateleadershipfund.org.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Bill Carroll, president of Teamsters Joint Council 389, based here in Milwaukee. They have endorsed Vice President Kamala Harris and Governor Tim Walz for president and vice president.
Trump offers nothing to a regular working class person. Talking about not taxing tips and not taxing overtime. Well, you don't have to tax overtime if there is no more overtime. That's in his Project 2025.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Minority Rule. The author is Ari Berman.
If you look back at Wisconsin history, it gave rise to Social Security and an unemployment insurance and collective bargaining. It really personified the idea that no matter what political party you were with, government should work for the common good. And Walker had a very different idea, that government should work for this conservative elite instead.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
A new choice. Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. 540 WAUK.
Tell you why Seals and Crofts is part of today's history lesson coming up in less than 30 minutes. Just a little bit of sports for you now. Saturday, the Wisconsin Badger football team plays at Northwestern. Pregame starts at 9 a.m. Saturday on Civic Media stations in Amory, Wisconsin Rapids, Racine, Kenosha, and Richland Center. The Badger men's hockey team is playing against Ohio State this weekend. You can hear Saturday's game starting at 5:30 on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids. And remember, you can catch high school sports all across the Civic Media Radio Network and on the app. I'll come back to that in a minute, but before I forget, Sunday's Green Bay Packers game at Lambeau Field against the Houston Texans. Pregame at 10 a.m. on Civic Media stations WRJN in Racine, Kenosha, WRCO in Richland Center, WCQM in Park Falls. Luke Mathers is with us this morning, and in talking about the high school sports and the Badger sports as well, not the professional sports like the Packers and the Bucks and the Brewers, but there are plenty of opportunities to hear high school and college sports through the Civic Media app.
That is correct. So you got high school playoffs and like playoff clinching scenarios kind of formulating right now around the state. So finding out which of those schools are going to be punching their tickets and going to the postseason for high school football is going to be huge. The Wisconsin Badgers, checking them out. And it's been a season of ups and downs. There's been some good games with blowouts lately, Pat. But, you know, there was also some unfortunate losses against USC and Alabama. So it's like we want to compete against those teams that we lost against. But you can listen to the entire Badger season right on the Civic Media app.
There you go. Thank you, Mr. Mathers. Some comments that have come in from Tony, in Ashland, the contrast between Kamala's interview and Trump's town hall was stark. Tony also says to Greg over here, Greg, you trimmed your beard. That's actually Luke Mathers, Tony. Come on.
Tony needs a little bit more coffee in his cup.
That's right. Roger writes in from Stevens Point. I don't think most of us have the extra $4,000 to afford the Trump tax, let alone the extra $7 million. And I give Vice President Harris an A-plus for her interview with that fixed news anchor last night, he writes. She was sharp on the hardball questions. And again, always happy to have your comments on our Facebook or YouTube pages as well. So Donald Trump had a busy day. He had a town hall for Fox News, quote unquote, with a hand-picked audience of women. In it, I don't know if you heard this, Luke. He referred to himself as the father of IVF. Donald Trump,
I did hear that.
The father of IVF. Mm-hmm. Now, moments later, he admits that he didn't know what IVF was until Alabama Senator Katie Britt told him about it, although as he first described her, Katie Britt, a very attractive woman, also a senator from Alabama, because as my wife likes to say, yeah, you know, a woman's not accomplished unless she's attractive first, you know, then Donald Trump will recognize her. Katie Britt explains IVF and he says, oh, yeah, yeah, I'm all for that. Or is he? Who knows? There was also a town hall on Univision with an audience of Hispanic viewers. And in that one, Trump was asked, were you serious about, you know, the comments about people eating pets, you know, the Haitians that had moved in? Did you really believe that? And he says, well, I was just reporting what other people were saying, which even if that were true, would be reckless. But even more egregious in my mind is him describing January 6th as a day of love and constantly using the word we. When he said we were there peacefully, we were not the ones that were armed. They are the ones who are armed. So by we, he's putting himself in the group of insurrectionists, in the mob. They were armed. That's been documented over and over again, that there were guns that were brought there and thankfully not used. And when he talks about them, they were armed. He's talking about law enforcement. He's talking about the Capitol Police, some of whom were so badly injured, some of whom died in the aftermath of January 6th. It was not a day of love. But his running mate, J.D. Vance, completed the transformation, his own transformation, from Trump critic to Trump sycophant, by finally answering the question yesterday, did Trump lose the 2020 election? And he had a bit of a hissy fit with reporters, and he finally said the word, no. He said no by his definition, Vance's, Trump didn't lose in 2020, but he said, if you disagree, that's fine. No, it's not. No, there's nothing fine about disagreeing about saying that somebody won or lost the election based on a lie. He did say, I think the election was rigged by big tech. Okay. How? No, seriously. How did big tech rig? Don't just spout off your suspicions. Don't just make observations on things. Show us the evidence that votes were actually changed. Because truth be told, if you want to make the case that big tech swung an election, you go back to 2016, when Facebook was flooded with messages that were of Russian origin and other overseas countries and swayed untold millions of viewers and readers of Facebook with false information. And so it's almost like they're trying to deflect on that. One last note. The day before, Donald Trump was in Chicago talking to the Economic Club there. Again, in contrast to the Kamala Harris interview, there was a lot of rambling. There was no specific policy that was outlined other than tariff, tariff, tariff. And he told the story of rescuing jobs at John Deere. Let's play that clip, Luke.
Are you ready? John Deere, great company. They announced about a year ago they're going to build big plants outside of the United States, right? They're going to build them in Mexico.
And you threatened
they're also going to build
them. They stopped.
That's right. I said, if John Deere builds those plants and not selling anything into the United States, they just announced yesterday they're probably not going to build the plants, okay? I kept the jobs here.
No, that turned out to be a lie. Journalists checked in with John Deere that nobody could find any press releases, any announcements indicating that John Deere was changing its mind on building a plant in Mexico. And a John Deere spokesperson finally came out and said, yeah, there's no change in our strategy. It was a straight up lie from Donald Trump in the moment, which is how he has always operated and always will. But somebody's got to call him out on it. So here we are. Joseph Peck, he's up next. You're up north.
A voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee. 540 WAUK.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
When the hurricanes rolled through Florida last week, I bet you weren't thinking of your fertilizer supplies. I'm PM Yankee, starting you off before the opening bell on a Thursday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. Josh Linville, who's the director of fertilizer with StoneX, says you should have been thinking about fertilizer. It is all about the phosphate market, he says. In generalities, he says in North America, it's Florida. Florida's where it's all at. And he said now they're just evaluating the damage done to the physical facilities. But he said that's not really what their biggest concern is. Their biggest concern is the people that work at that facility.
It's more the people. Your facility can come through largely unscathed. But if your people's homestead, their families and things like that, if everything is wrecked there, that's where their attention needs to be placed. Those people need to be at home cleaning up, getting their families somewhere safe, getting them fed and everything else, the bare essentials. That takes precedence over running a facility. So even if the damage to the facilities are not what some are fearing today, if it is on the personal side, it doesn't matter. It may be the exact same effect, which is very unfortunate given that we're less than 30 days away from November, which is the start of fall application.
That's Josh Linville. He is the director of fertilizer with StoneX. They're still evaluating the damage done by those hurricanes to the fertilizer industry here in the U.S. Markets in overnight electronic trade this morning. Any gains we picked up yesterday were given back. Numbers are next.
Whether it's finally getting that blue ribbon or enjoying too many carnival rides, we all have memories of the fair. Here's your chance to share those stories in our Everybody Has a Fair Story contest. The Midwest Farm Report is teaming up with the Wisconsin Association of Fairs as they look for the grand champion fair story. Enter the Fair Story contest for a chance to win a cash prize at MidwestFarmReport.com.
Farmers, let's talk Pioneer brand 4-seed Enlist corn.
Yes, Coach!
Wow, love the energy. Okay, it clobbers corn rootworms and weeds for higher yields.
Yes, Coach!
And 4-seed Enlist delivers next-generation corn rootworm protection.
Yes, Coach!
Plus powerful exclusive genetics and flexibility to manage tough weeds.
Yes, Coach!
Now get out there and
grow!
I guess being a Pioneer agronomist is like being a coach.
Start your best year yet at pioneer.com/rootworm.
On Wednesday, the barrel cheese gained 4 cents to 193. 40-pound block cheese was up a half at 194 and a quarter, while AA butter gained 2 at 263 and a half. This morning, the November Class 3 milk that goes into cheese is down 8 at 21.08. December closed 36 cents stronger, 21.28. December corn's down a penny and a half at 403. November beans down 6 and a half at 973. December wheat's unchanged right now, 585 a bushel. There's your market update. I'm PM Yankee.
Have you ever
reserve your tickets today for Blues, Brews, and Barbecue. Go to fishonmarinette.com to learn more.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to 64 for a high this afternoon. Tonight, clear 43. Tomorrow, sunshine 67. On Saturday, sunny with a high of 69. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 35.
Get your tickets today for the premier fall event, Blues, Brews, and Barbecues in Marinette, Wisconsin. Featuring 6 elite barbecue chefs, award-winning craft beer, and 2 iconic blues musicians. Kicking off the night, Hall of Fame inductee Joe Moss. Following Joe Taranzo Cannon. Playing tunes from his current number one album, Shut Up and Play. November 2nd at the Community Rec, Blues, Brews, and Barbecues. Go to fishonmarinette.com and click on the pig for more information.
Supported by Travel Wisconsin.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey. Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
Next, I'll be joined by my Thursday guest host, Tom Paulswitz, and our special guest, Joe Fox, from Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin, talking about the youth vote ahead of the election.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Senator Tammy Baldwin and Republican Eric Hovde, again, coverage on civic media starts at 6:50 tomorrow evening with a debate at 7 o'clock, presented by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association Foundation. Joe, good morning. Are you looking forward to a little rumble tomorrow?
Good morning. No. And before we get to it, I need to just be a boy in front of a microphone pleading with the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association.
Okay.
Stop it. Stop this madness of burying these essential conversations on Friday nights in the fall. Enough. It's a travesty that these things are Friday nights in the fall.
Yes.
People got lives. People got football games to go to. It's the final week of the regular season of high school football. And so I won't even get to watch it. Like, I'm sure I will see some clips afterwards. And I think it's going to be a really good night for Tammy Baldwin. And it is a really important conversation for Wisconsin voters to see. But we are doing a disservice when we put these things on Friday nights. And there's only one of them, especially when there's only one of them. I guarantee you more people watched the Barnes-Johnson debate that was held on like a Tuesday on Channel 4 in two or three markets than watched the statewide broadcasters debate that was buried on a Friday night. Please, let's fix this going forward.
I would love that. And now, of course, I come at this from the hard left that you have a broadcast license. You know, that is a license to print money. But in exchange, there are certain things you should be doing on behalf of the public, on behalf of voters. And something like that, along with, I've always been big on, you should have to devote so much time so that instead of these commercials that, you know, a candidate gets whatever it is, 30 minutes or whatever, to just talk to the camera and make their case. And I could go on and on about this, but I'm really glad you brought that up. Point well taken.
Yeah. For those, but now folks, we can talk about the actual debate.
Yeah, now we can actually get into it. And, you know, I guess maybe I should have looked back at Senator Baldwin's previous debates with her previous opponents before asking this question. But, you know, Senator Baldwin's a nice person. She works hard. And I don't know if her previous debates had somebody who will be as rude and condescending as I predict Eric Hovde will be tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, listen, if I was advising Senator Baldwin, I'm not. I would encourage her to have a conversation with the voters and not with Mr. Hovde, who has shown himself to be quite rude and boorish, I might even say, and does not like to be anything other than the most important person in the room. He's not the most important person in the room tomorrow night. He's not a United States Senator. He's trying desperately, whatever it costs, to become one. But yeah, I don't think it's going to be the Lincoln Douglas debates redux. I believe that Tammy Baldwin will do her homework and she will make a clear and compelling case to the voters of Wisconsin about what she has done on their behalf, from lowering the cost of insulin for seniors to $35 to helping write part of the Affordable Care Act that allows young people to stay on their parents' health insurance until they're 26, to passing Make It in America legislation. In fact, two different versions, that one of which was signed by President Trump when he was president, one of which was signed by President Biden during his term. This is someone who has delivered for the people of Wisconsin and has earned the trust of the people of Wisconsin, including the Wisconsin Farm Bureau, which we talked about last week. So I think she's got a great story to tell about the work she's doing in Washington. And I would focus on telling that story and let Eric Hovde blither and blather and do the nasty over-the-top attacks, because the more you let him talk, the more he gets himself in trouble, right? If it's not old people in a nursing home shouldn't vote or are in no condition to vote, to all farmers do is drive around on tractors all day and that's not as hard as it was to farm 50 years ago, to, you know, young people being on their parents' health insurance is insane, he's going to, you know, he's going to step in at a time or two, because that's who he is.
Yeah. And a reminder, 1 hour from now, we will be talking to Senator Baldwin as part of our Women Win Wisconsin segment with our friends from Motherhood for Good. But to the Eric Hovde side of things, the question this hour is, can you buy a U.S. Senate seat for $20 million? Because the latest report shows that Hovde put another $7 million of personal money in, making it now $20 million of his own money. I just can't even fathom much like Tim Michaels, you know, a couple of years back running for governor, can't even fathom that somebody says, yeah, I'll put $20 million of my own money into political ambition.
But it's order of magnitude. I mean, this is like you or I writing a $2,000 check to our own campaign, which is, you know, it's not nothing, right? It's a big check. You don't write many checks that big unless something in your house breaks, right? Or you need a new car. But you can afford it, right? You can figure it out. He's got hundreds of millions more. What's $20 million to him?
Well,
$2,000, it might be like 20 bucks.
And come to think of it, that's only part of it. I'm reminded now of a story from a couple days back about how billionaire Dick Eline has now put nearly $50 million into Restoration Pack, you know, one of those packs that runs one of those just trashy ads out there. What is the maximum for a Senate race? It's like $2,500 or something. That's the
I think it's a little more than that now, but okay.
Yeah.
But it's less than $10,000.
Yeah, that's the biggest check you or I could write. But here's a billionaire putting $50 million into a PAC, just like they did for Ron Johnson a couple years back. And you see where people get turned off. And I bring it up not to turn people off, but to say, hey, if you want to fix this system, maybe not go with the billionaire candidates.
Yeah, they have more money than we do, but we have more voters than they do who believe that it's disgusting. Not just the amount of money, but the content of the ads. And I'd like to take a second to point out that a lot of that Restoration PAC money is going towards these absurd, ridiculous, blatantly transphobic and homophobic ads that are accusing people like Kamala Harris and Tammy Baldwin of doing things like supporting sex changes for prisoners and, you know, illegal aliens in American jails. And you know what? It turns out that was happening under Donald Trump in federal prisons. When he was president of the United States, federal prisons in the U.S. were paying for hormone therapies and gender reassignment drugs and surgeries in U.S. prisons with your tax dollars. So enough of this nonsense that this is some crazy off-the-wall thing that's never been conceived before. It's been a fact of life. Happens very, very, very infrequently.
Are you saying that this is merely a diversion that billionaires are putting out there so that they can get their people elected who are going to give them massive tax cuts?
I am. That is exactly what I'm saying. Because,
oh, okay. That's what I thought.
Because while they want you to believe that this election is all about the economy, what they believe is the way to help their bottom line economy is to scare you into voting against something that has basically no basis in reality or importance to, you know, the American taxpayer.
Let's turn to state issues here for a moment. We touched on it briefly yesterday, but I want your take on this. The fiscal year ended. The state of Wisconsin ended it with a surplus, which is a good thing. But is it possible to have too much of a good thing? I think so, when the surplus is $4.6 billion. Now, I don't know what the magic number should be, Joe. I just know it shouldn't be that. What does a number like that tell you about the Republicans who are running this legislature and who are in the middle of a 9-month paid vacation?
Represents a lot of missed opportunity is the simplest way I can put it. That's 4.6 billion missed opportunities to invest in our young people, invest in our workforce, invest in our future. And so when you look at things like the fact that dozens of school districts are going to be having referendums on the ballot during this election. People have already voted in referendums to fund our public schools. The fact that the state coffers are that full, pretty hard to take, or at least it ought to be for taxpayers. The other thing I think about, though, is, boy, it might turn out to be really, really important that we have that $4.6 billion, because if Donald Trump wins and he does to the global economy what he is threatening to do, state and local governments are going to be in a world of hurt. If you don't think that 1,000% tariffs is what he was talking about the other day, isn't going to spark a global trade war and global economic insecurity that is going to tank the markets and have real downstream effects, then you don't know enough about economic literacy and about the way that the economy works. The tens of thousands of people's lives that will be directly impacted because they work in exports, the shock to the economy, what that's going to do to your 401k, what that's going to do to state pension funds. The economic aftershock of a Donald Trump election will be very real. And it's not just me saying that. This is the Wall Street Journal, the smartest economists out there who overwhelmingly say that Donald Trump's policies as proposed would add more to the debt, would add more to the deficit, would raise inflation. Meanwhile, Kamala Harris would not have those dramatic effects according to the data wonks.
Such a still, I get your second point, but your first point about this being such a missed opportunity just sticks. And obviously that's, you know, saying that as a former legislator who knows that such a better job could be done and is not getting done. And they don't really have an excuse for it. It's not fiscal responsibility. But again, they just have to convince enough folks about that. You wear the hat with the folks from Protect Our Care, and among the activities lately has been reminding people that where Donald Trump stands on health care is not terribly popular. He's not with the popular kids when it comes to his health care ideas. And I know you've touched on some of them already here.
He's really not. Let's just take one of the pieces of the Inflation Reduction Act, where Medicare is now finally allowed to negotiate for lower prescription drug costs. 9 in 10 Americans, 88%, support that policy. Republicans on the Hill and Donald Trump are already talking about unwinding that. Why? I don't know. I mean, the drug companies are doing just fine. They had $22 billion in profits in the second quarter of this year. So there's just one, for instance. For another one, Donald Trump and his Republican and MAGA allies continue to talk about repealing or rolling back the ACA and replacing it with concepts of a plan, is what Donald Trump said. He had concepts of a plan. And the Affordable Care Act is more popular than it's ever been. 59% favorable, 25% unfavorable. I mean, those are apple pie numbers. And so what you see is, in a race where could go either way, I don't think it's likely to go either way. I think you'd much rather be Kamala Harris today. But part of what the last few weeks of this race are about is pointing out to folks that Donald Trump's policy positions, from Project 2025, which would remake the entire federal government, to his party's refusal to protect IVF, to these Trump abortion bans in terms of reproductive health care, when you look at pulling coverage away from millions of Americans with pre-existing conditions if the ACA goes away, the potential impact of a Trump 2.0 presidency will be felt by every American, whether you vote for him, vote against him, or stay home on the sidelines. And healthcare is one of those policies that touches everybody at some point. And so Protect Our Care is among those out there reminding people that these are Donald Trump's positions. This is a guy who tried to repeal the Affordable Care Act once, got further to doing it than anybody before him or since him, had a pep rally on the lawn of the White House after repeal passed the U.S. House of Representatives, and then was stymied by a single vote in the United States Senate. So the late, great John McCain, who voted no and saved the ACA, is no longer with us. God rest his soul. And that means it's on us now. If we want to protect the Affordable Care Act, we got to make sure we keep Donald Trump out of the White House.
And one more public service note. Next Tuesday, early in-person absentee voting gets underway, one of my preferred ways to vote. And I would guess it's one that you recommend.
It is. We often vote early in person because, well, for us, Election Day can be a bit of a whirlwind.
A long day, yeah.
But it's so convenient that you know your local clerk's office is open. When you're out running errands, you're passing by, you're nearby, you just pop in. The lines are all often very, very short, so you're in and out very quickly. And you get to say hello to the nice folks who administer your local municipality every other day of the year, too.
Yeah, and show them a little love, because they're going to have a long day and a long night on November 5th, as it is, much less any other, hopefully goofiness is the appropriate word, that comes up on Election Day. Hopefully not at all, but we thank all of them for all they do to make sure our elections are safe and secure. Joseph Pecky, thank you so much. As always, have a great start to the weekend.
Talk to you next week.
All right, back with our history lesson after this. You're up north. On my mind, come on over, squeeze me tight. As long as there's love, it's gonna drive me out of my mind.
Follow Up North News online anytime. Search Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for Up North News WI and our homepage, Up North News WI.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
Kamala Harris gets that everyday costs are too high. She has real plans to tackle price gouging, cut taxes for middle-class families, and make life more affordable. Her opponent's plan?
Donald Trump plans to impose what is, in effect, a national sales tax. On everyday products, it will mean higher prices on just about every one of your daily needs. A Trump tax on gas. A Trump tax on food, a Trump tax on clothing, a Trump tax on over-the-counter medication. Donald Trump's plan would cost a typical family $3,900 a year. When everyday prices are too high, he will make them even higher.
Kamala Harris, a better plan for lowering costs for a future we can afford. Paid for by FFPAC, FFPAC.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. FFPAC's responsible for the content of this advertising.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your new choice. Real news. Great conversation. 540 WAUK.
You can dance every dance with the guy who gives you the eye. Let him hold you tight.
These are the Drifters.
You can smile. Every smile for the man who held your hand.
Drifters' version of Save the Last Dance for Me was the number one song on this day in 1960 and held the number one spot for 3 weeks. Also in today's history lesson, this is a very important date for a certain generation of Americans that I'm lumping myself into. It was the day when OPEC imposed an oil embargo against countries that they said helped Israel in the Yom Kippur War. And so what was then called the Arab oil embargo led to monstrous lines at gas stations. Gas prices shot up. We really became aware of just how reliant we were on imported oil for our energy needs. And, you know, as painful as it was, it helped a generation see, from kids like me on up, the importance of working toward, and this was before we talked about the climate crisis, talking about alternative sources of energy and cleaner sources of energy. And so to continue to see pushback on that from the drill baby drill crowd just tells me again that memories are short and should really look back at what started this day 51 years ago. The number one song this day in 1964 was by Manfred Mann.
There she was. Just walking down the street singing. Tapping her fingers and shuffling her feet singing.
Pretend we're in stripes. We're just going down the street here.
She looked good.
2 weeks at the top of the chart for Manfred Mann. George Wendt, who I still think of as, you know, Norm from Cheers, but he's also been in, you know, plenty of other things, but boy, once you get typecast, you're there. He's 76 years old today. Wycliffe Shawn is 55. Here's one just for Luke. Chris Kirkpatrick, one of the founding members of NSYNC, is 53. Or are you more of a Backstreet Boys boy band fan?
I never chose sides. I didn't need to pick sides. I think Backstreet Boys was more my jam, but I don't. I don't recall having like a very deep, passionate drive for one or the other.
I seriously thought you'd disavow them both and say, well, Pat, the next birthday on the list is Eminem. And that's where you were, you know, as other people were listening to NSYNC and Backstreet, you were out there with Marshall Mathers, whose songs we can't play for you right now. We normally play a clip from people. I thought about queuing up like, you know, three notes of an Eminem song and seeing if that would work.
I can do instrumentals.
Yes, there you go. Eminem, 52 years old today and a grandfather to be. Did you see how he was surprised by his daughter with the news that
she was expecting? Lions jersey. The grandpa
Detroit
Lions
jersey? With grandpa on the back. That was very, very touching. The number one song this day in 1970 was by the Jackson 5. And this is, again, one of those times where I really feel my age because I can sense there's somebody out there going, wait, Mariah Carey didn't write this song or start this song? Like, no. There was something a little earlier than that.
A boy band, well before.
And a boy band, yes. Well said. All right, let's see. On this day in 1977, a melancholy anniversary, Lynyrd Skynyrd released Street Survivors, the last album with frontman Ronnie Van Zant and guitarist Steve Gaines, as both were killed 3 days later when the band's plane crashed en route to Baton Rouge, Louisiana. The number one song this day in 1987 was by Lisa Lisa and Cult Jam. I don't think they were a one-hit wonder. I think they had two hits, and maybe they attempted a third. A group I thought we might hear more about, but not so much, at least on, you know, on the pop charts. We mentioned earlier Seals and Crofts was in the rundown today for today's history lesson. That's because Jim Seals of Seals and Crofts is 83 years old today. He and England Dan Seals made up that successful duo. Country legend Alan Jackson, I think legend's appropriate now. He's 66 years old today, and he's had a long, illustrious career. We'll hear a little bit of him later on. Gary Puckett is 82 years old today, a native of Hibbing, Minnesota. The number one song this week in 1998 was by the Bare Naked Ladies. Okay, I kind of didn't cue that up right where you'd hear it's been 1 week since all that. Kind of gives away the punchline. Hey, Luke, how long did this song, 1 week, stay in the number one position on the charts?
I think maybe just 1 week.
Well, 1 week, yes. Very good.
That was it? Wow.
Yeah, I know.
How did that work out? That's just kismet almost. That's...
Well, you know, the charts are funny. The number of songs that peak at like number two because some other thing, I mean... They talked the other day about Debbie Boone's You Light Up My Life was the first one that had ever held the number one spot for 10 weeks in a row. I'd like to go back now and see which songs only made it to like number two because of it.
Yeah.
Which one do you think is still playing on the radio today? You know, on this day in 1989, Billy Joel released his album Stormfront with some big hits. We Didn't Start the Fire, I Go to Extremes, and Shameless. Billy Joel wrote it. Garth Brooks would later take it to the top of the charts in 1991. This is National Child Poverty Day. This is Black Poetry Day. This is International Credit Union Day. Also, Get Smart About Credit Day. National Mulligan Day. National Pasta Day. And National Clean Your Virtual Desktop Day.
Oh, that's a good one.
Sounds like a good one. It ain't going to happen.
Yeah.
And maybe after the election.
I'd be remiss not to mention it is Mrs. Mather's birthday, my mother's birthday. So I'm not going to throw out the year for her, but happy birthday, Mom.
Well done. Well played. Good for you. In our next hour, our Women Win Wisconsin segment includes our interview with Senator Tammy Baldwin. That's next, live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network. Can I help it if I think you're funny when you're mad? Trying
hard not to smile, but won't feel bad. I'm the kind of guy. You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach. Coming up on the show, the president of the Human Rights Campaign joins us at 10:33. J.R. Radcliffe in hour number two, and This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Join us.
Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings at 10.
Today's WAUK Big Deal of the Day. 50% savings at Lover's Lane Sushi and Seafood Buffet in Franklin. Just in time for the weekend, Lover's Lane features over 200 mouth-watering lunch and dinner options, including fresh sushi and seafood, hibachi grilled meats, American classics, and decadent desserts. You'll be pleasantly surprised by their quality and variety. Go to WAUKradio.com, click on the Big Deals tab, and purchase $25 gift certificates for just $12.50. Today only at WAUK Big Deal.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. This is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.